Listen, when the candidate statements come in, at that point, there's a lot of stuff that happens. All the candidate statements have to be proofread. They have to go, to have the graphics done. At the same time, I'm getting the final list of people, that subscribed, by September 1st. Those lists are coming in, and they have to be vetted against volunteer lists. They have to be vetted, it's just that there's a lot of work to be done at that point. It should be done earlier. So, for example, the work on the database list should start this January, regardless of change of schedule or anything. It has nothing to do with it. It simply has to do with removing, for example, all people to be sent, these lists or the mailings. It's easy in MemSys to simply put a mark at a particular field saying this address is no longer valid. The person's still in the database. That doesn't take that long. It should be easy to go through and try to find out where the duplicates are, to try to make sure that you know what the difference is between paid staff and unpaid staff and the list. I mean, many of those things I was sorting out at the same time that I was trying to do the proofreading.
Clearly.
So it's something. See, I don't disagree that the election supervisors have to deal with the database. I don't disagree at all. But I do disagree that the starting point of taking care of these things should be when the election begins. That I do disagree with.
I just wanted to clarify that motion said that the supervisor shall designate a secure, independent audit procedure now to verify member database accuracy, et cetera. Does that sound to you like an outside company coming in and cleaning up the list and removing at least one problem? I think that was the intention of that motion, secure independent audit procedure might enable someone from outside to come in and do the kind of cleaning that I think you were able to do at KPFA, but not anywhere else.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right. I did have another question, though. The budget for the elections, will that be in your report, a complete budget of what was budgeted, what was spent, and so on?
Yeah.
All right. And
pretty clear cut.
The question of the, WBAI, I know, is working to bring in, I think, a new union. They're talking about bringing in a new union for the unpaid staff.
Yes.
So wouldn't it be easier if, in fact, one of the conditions for management accepting a union at any station were that their work requirements were the same as the bylaws instead of being different? I mean, that seemed to cause an awful lot of confusion that the unpaid staff unions at two stations had different criteria than the bylaws and the rest of the network.
Well, that causes confusion, but it also... In this particular thing, it gets very difficult. Kenny Mostyn, if you read his report, suggested that there was no alternative other than simply to accept the list from the staff organization. I more or less agree with that, although I thought there has to be more to it than that. You can't just have a council saying this person's paid staff, this is not, and what if a person works at the station and the unpaid staff council, for example, doesn't accept the person? That happened at KPFA, and we ruled that's not, you can't do that. I mean, there has to be. So even with the bylaws, Carolyn, with the way the bylaws are written, that there's different rules. It's that those rules are sort of administered subjectively, and that should be taken care of. There should be an addition to how unpaid staff is looked at, and one of those things is any programmer that's on a station regularly should automatically be considered part of staff, whether or not they get, are directly under station management or not, because The reason for that part in the bylaws, and I was involved with that discussion, the reason for it was not to give unfair advantage to staff people in terms of an election. Mm-hmm. And yet there are staff people who should be called staff people who run and who are on the air at these different stations, and they run as listeners, or they endorse people as listeners, and they're really not. And there's something wrong with that. That really should be looked at again. That whole mm-hmm. the whole process of who is unpaid staff, who is paid staff.
All right, my question was much narrower than that, but thank you for clarifying that. I was just wondering if it wouldn't be easier if the hourly requirement for starters was the same.
Yes.
As well as some of the other requirements.
It should be. Yeah. As a matter of fact, what Dan Siegel said is that if we keep the bylaws as they are, you're open to a lawsuit, because what you're doing is talking about different standards for staff in mm-hmm. the same network, in the same foundation at different stations.
Oh.
And that's
mm-hmm.
probably illegal. No one tested it.
All right. And my other question very quickly was, what kind of compliance are you getting from the general managers about keeping a list?
A list of the...
staff. And currently, are you
limited? I mean, basically, limited. It's like a lot of pressure that both Greg Gumma and myself put on people, and we got mm-hmm. lists. And once we got some kind of list, it ended any involvement with management. They don't care.
Uh huh. I see. All right. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wanted to ask questions?
Jared here.
I'm sorry. Ted.
Ted.
All
and right. Richard.
Richard.
And
Jack, did I hear you come on the call?
Ted?
No, Jack.
Van Aken
yes.
came on, right?
Okay,
yes.
good. Uh-huh. And after Richard, anyone else?
Carol? Yes.
Okay.
I have a point of information. I thought that Terry Goodman wanted to be on the stack, and I didn't. Did he ask his question? Because I didn't quite get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Terry, did we skip you?
Nope. I asked my question. It was when the NES report will be published.
Okay, thanks.
That's right. Okay, thank you. All right, Ted, then?
Les, I think that your wisdom and the wisdom of the local election supervisors is invaluable, but you're making a recommendation regarding the elections of 2007-2008, and I would like you to go back and reread the bylaws. And before you make the recommendation that you verbalize to us formal in your report, I would like you to spell out in detail the process that you see as needing to be followed to amend the bylaws and the timeline for doing that in order to make this change for 2007. And if that is not done, if you discover that it should not be done, or even if you still think that it should be done, if you and the five election supervisors will give us your best recommendation of a timeline without the change in the bylaws.
Okay. That's fair. That's certainly fair. Yeah.
Sorry, Carolyn?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I do have a question.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'll put you on after Carol.
Thank you. Les, I want to thank you for a lot of hard work and a lot of success in spite of many problems. My question I'm going to ask you, but I guess it's all of us to think about, is that certainly at WPFW, and I am sensing at other stations as well, there was a tremendous lack of enthusiasm in the election process among the paid staff and among members. When you talk about not being able to get committees together, it seemed like anybody who wasn't actually running or who saw the importance for reaching down and making an election successful, there just wasn't a lot of enthusiasm. And my question is, what would you suggest we do to inspire that enthusiasm for the next elections. I understand and I agree with looking carefully at the scheduling, but in a short amount of time, can you give us any other suggestions?
No, I can't. I'm pretty depressed about it. I've tried thinking, you know, talking to people, going to these different areas. I tried thinking how we could do this. The problem, you pinpointed actually the problem. The way a radio station gets involvement, and WPFW showed that, the way it gets involvement is to actually have the programmers go on the air and be enthusiastic about this stuff. That's how you get involvement. And mm-hmm. for a period of about a week, WPFW did, which is why they went from one candidate to 18 candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Short of that, if the radio station, if it's constant fighting with the radio station, with the factions in the radio station, then there's no hope. Somehow there has to be some way of saying, and I think the national board actually has given support for that. There has to be a way of telling the management of the station that this is not a necessary evil. This is something about the governance, and this is something about outreach, and this is something about getting people enthusiastic about how the station is run, that they should see as an opportunity, not a necessary evil.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Ted, were you next?
I have a point of information. We allocated an hour for this. Where are we on that timeline?
Yes, we have about 7 minutes left. We started at 8:26, and it's 9:19.
I have one more question, if you don't mind. I just did think of one. It really had to do with the report of our committee, and I did tell you before this meeting that I would hope Les would weigh in on the 9 recommendations that we, the 3-person working group, came up with. But the 9th one was one that I think Terry dismissed or did not support, and it was more listeners would participate if LSB exercised more authority over programming policy. The bylaws say that the LSB should collaborate with management in terms of programming, and I personally think that because we've seen none of that at KPFT that I can identify, and maybe Melinda will be able to do better than I can in something specific that KPFT's LSB has had to do with regarding programming, that if the board doesn't have some responsibility for determining what goes out over the airwaves, a lot of people are going to say, why the hell should I sit on one of these local station boards? So that's what number 9 is about, and I would like Les to speak to that and any of the other points that our working group came up with.
Madam Chair, this is Madam
Yes,
Berg
Ma'am.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
This is an interpretation of the bylaws. The bylaws actually don't say that we work together on programming. We work together with management to ensure that it meets community needs. I don't think the interpretation of the duties of LSB people is within the
point
purview
of, order, excuse me.
Of the election supervisors.
I agree with the discussion is not germane at the moment because we have only a few minutes to ask less questions. Mm-hmm. Terry, point of order?
And this is Serena. I'd like to get on the stack for a question
point.
For Les.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Carolyn, I've been on the stack for I don't know how long, but somehow you haven't gotten to me.
I'm so sorry. You were right after Ted, and that was a question that I am going to rule out of order at this point because it's a discussion that really doesn't pertain to Les directly. Ted could address that to him independently if he wished. So, Richard, do you want to go ahead with your question?
Yeah, and this is Serena. I'd like to get on the stack as someone who hasn't spoken yet for the night. Thanks.
Richard?
A couple of things. One, I think the solution to the, you know, lists on the database of employees and unpaid staff is to start mandating that they be kept as they happen, so that as over time we will have an accurate list and it will stay that way. I mean, I don't know of any other businesses that don't know who's working on their premises, either as volunteers or as paid people. I mean, this is, to use a Disney term, rather Mickey Mouse, that we're, you know, got a $4 or $16 million budget or whatever it is, and we don't, you know, nobody can tell us exactly who's employed where. I mean, that's a laugher in the real world. And it's not, it's got to be straightened out. You know, with this sort of counterculture anarchy, has got to end if we're going to become a real, you know, organization that knows what it's doing. And that just needs to start happening. And then, you know, in a year or two, we'll have a pretty complete list of all the people. As they come in, they've got to be kept track of. As somebody comes on as staff, they need to be kept track of. I mean, you've got work comp insurance responsibilities. You've got all kinds of other things, liability problems. With somebody in the course and scope of work when they hurt somebody else, or, you know, driving a truck. I mean, you just got to know who's working for you and who's the volunteers. Second question, just a thought for less, but second thing is about the election. I don't think there's, you know, to get to the root of it, I don't think there people have a real problem with the elections. I think people have a real problem with power sharing and democratic process. And I guess my final comment, you know, I don't understand why we have any managers who don't believe in a democratic process. They shouldn't be working for us if they don't. It's just that simple. And the way to correct their behavior is called a pink slip.
That's clear enough. Thank you. Serene, I'm going to ask Serene to go ahead of Carol and Jane because she has not spoken yet. And then next on the list are Carol and Jane. Serene, go ahead, please.
Quick question. With regard to D.C., and maybe either Jane or Carol were going to raise this when they spoke, but I suppose they already know. I know that there were more than 12 openings on their board. I think there were maybe 15 openings. So I was a little confused as to how the results were represented. They showed, when corrected, they currently show 9 people elected and the other people defeated. So am I to assume that those 9 people are going in for the 3-year seats and then the reserve, the people who, in whatever order they were placed, would then be seated to make up for the deficit that existed prior to this election?
Yeah, I had actually talked to Carol about this much, much earlier, and she mentioned that there were more than 9 people. And I was going to originally say on the thing that, you know, I was going to put those people on. It seemed...
Welcome
reading the bylaws. The bylaws allow for 9 people being elected from listeners,
sure.
3 from staff. So I put that on primarily because the other part of the problem is that some of the people, I don't know what terms are for the people who resigned. And so you'd end up, if I had all the people elected for 3 years and some of the people, you know, were having their terms ending next year, you would no longer end up with 9 being elected each time. So the way it works is that those 9 people are elected, and then the alternates would fill in the remainder of the term for those who resigned.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah, that's sort of how I assumed it was working. The other point I wanted to just briefly correct the member who seems to be confused, which is not... hard to understand because, of course, it actually involves a union, and she's not a member of the union. But there is no, while the unpaid staff at BAI are exploring affiliation with another union, it has nothing to do with the definition of staff. So it has nothing to do with the bylaws or the election or this committee.
Okay, Carol, I believe you are next.
Carolyn, this is LaVorn. I'd also like to get on the stack. I was on my cell phone. I tried to say something earlier, but it wasn't working.
Oh, sorry, certainly. All right. Carol, Jane, and then LaVorn. Mm-hmm.
That's my question. I already asked my question.
Oh, you did. Okay. Thank you. Jane?
LaVorn should go first since I've already spoken once.
All right. Thank you.
Oh,
LaVorn.
Yeah, I had to step away. So I'm not sure if
I'm sorry.
This question was actually, was actually asked, but on the cost, did you address that?
The
cost of the election?
Yeah, the
final cost will be in the report. I mean, I have that, but I you know, I don't have the figures in front of me.
I mean, it's right about
approximately $200,000 is what it amounted to.
Okay, and the $200,000. May I just follow up with a question here? So the printing was about $100,000 of that. The printing and mailing.
No, the printing wasn't that much of it. It was about, I believe it was, the printing and the graphics, et cetera, they were about $90,000, yeah.
This is the printing, the mailing, and the graphics was about $90,000, and that was for all five stations?
That was for all five stations.
Okay.
Mailing, yeah.
Okay, and the software and the hardware and then salaries, but how much was soft? Do you have the split on the software and the hardware? And just to follow up on the software, yeah, I know we spoken briefly there at the office. So, are there other applications for the software that we've purchased?
Well, I'm going to be doing a workshop for the staff because this actually is off. I mean, I can talk to you about that, LeVar, but it really is off on this particular thing.
But there are other applications.
It might be useful for the rest of the stations. It certainly will be useful for the national staff.
Okay, that was the question. Okay, and the hardware, do you just have an estimate on that? That will come out in the final report.
Well, you mean the hardware for the county?
Oh yeah, well just for the whole project, yeah.
$20,000.
Okay. All right, that was the question.
Okay, and LeVar, you may have tuned in late and perhaps didn't hear, but Les said that the income at all five stations was in the neighborhood of $50,000.
15
for the front.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was for listeners who mailed in support for the election, the 15?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Congratulations to all of you all. Thank you.
That was good. All right, are there any more questions for Les?
This is Jane. Okay, going back to me.
Yes, Jane.
Mm-hmm. I think that issues of accountability is quite important, and I hope that you can touch on this in your report, Les. Mm-hmm. I sense that locally here in WPFW, some of our local station board members were adamant that our general manager shouldn't have anything to do with running the elections, which is understandable sentiment. But on the other hand, I feel that if there was somebody locally for our local supervisor to be accountable, it would have been a helpful component, you know, in combination with what the national election supervisor is doing. In other words, I feel that there needs to be some defined authority for the general manager in terms of the elections, and I hope that we can clarify that in a way that the roles are held, you know, apart as appropriate and also together as appropriate. So, if that makes any sense.
Actually, I think it's clear. I mean, the role of the general manager should be to support the structure that the local election supervisor is setting up, and that includes making sure that the cards are played. I mean, actually, each local election supervisor did go to the general managers to work out the details of this, and sometimes we had to go around the general manager when there were obstacles, but that's not because the general manager shouldn't have been doing it. It's because the general manager simply, did not consider it important, and that happened to varying degrees at each station.
So, in other words, if there was shortfalls on the part of the local election supervisor, the person who is ultimately responsible for that is the national election supervisor, period.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, all right.
Are there any more questions?
Don White here.
Yes, Don, we're running a few minutes over. If there are no objections, we'll take one last question from Don.
Well, first of all, I think Les answered my first question subsequently around maybe some paid staff to work lists in the year now that we have before the next election. I was interested in his subsequent answer to that. But here's my question. here in KPFK land, we had, not because of any incompetence on the part of Casey Peters, he was a wonderful local station supervisor, but just the reality is that we had really horrendous public forums. We, of course, had those on air, but my question to Les is, do you think that there's some way prior to the election that a totally nonpartisan, non-involved electorally or faction-wise group of people could be established to get venues and to publicize public forums in the communities, and I mean broadly in various communities, looking at both race and ethnicity and so on. We had, I think, two public forums, and I would say that the total number of listener sponsors who attended both of them was something like 12 or, right, you know, 13 or something. And I just don't know if those public forums are important, but I do know that several candidates who lost were bemoaning the fact that they were shocked by the lack of contact with voters that they were afforded other than the on-air forums.
And your question is, how do we make sure that lots of people are still on?
I thought I would give you a softball.
If I had the answer to that question, I would have already told. I mean,
right.
I did work with local election supervisors talking about this, and none of them had enthusiastic. I still think they're worthwhile because candidates get to talk to each other, and the active, I mean, the listeners who do show up, they talk to other people. I mean, they could get involved, but something has to be looked at. I know different people tried different ways of handling these forums that weren't handled the same way at each place, but the result of only a few people showing up was there. I would, you know, I mean, it seems to me a broader thing about both the local station board and the stations is that these stations have to be expanding at this point, or they're going to be in trouble. The outreach, to me, is a very, very important part. I don't see this just as a technical job. And somehow we have to have more discussion of that. I mean, I don't have the answer, but there should be more discussion because I think, you know, I mean, I'd almost like an outreach coordinator at every station, and that person would then be the local election supervisor when elections come up. But the outreach into new communities, for example, at Houston, making sure that the communities of color are directly involved with the station would be, you know, something that I would hope everybody's concerned about.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Les. I think we've gone a little bit over your hour, but
can I make one quick comment before Les is gone?
Who is this, please?
Melinda.
Melinda, yes. Melinda, if Les has a minute.
Just one quick comment, Les. I just wanted to thank you for taking the time just to chat for a minute when you were in Houston. Unfortunately, I didn't have a voice at the time, but it was a pleasure to finally have met you.
Uh-huh. It was a pleasure to meet all of you, actually, at the various times. And I thank Carol Wolf in particular. I haven't met her yet. I stayed at her apartment in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God.
It was
God.
A very, very pleasant stay.
Thank you, Les, for
yeah,
right,
thank
for
you. You were great.
Thank you very much, Les. Appreciate the
thank
help.
You. Sure.
Okay, now back to our agenda here. We were on the minutes, which we interrupted, and we were dealing with the report, which was appended to the minutes.
I think the issue, Madam Chair, I think the approval of the minutes was to come, and we jumped into the report of the working group, but the approval of the minutes did not have to do with the discussion of the report, only as if the minutes are correct. And the report itself is an item that comes down below here.
That is correct. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate the
so maybe we could just
the correction if we
get the minutes done, and then we could
and then we'll deal with that under when it comes down to the work group.
Right.
All right, thank you. Are there any other changes to the objections rather to the minutes? Can we approve them as submitted? All right, hearing no objections then, we'll approve the minutes. Yes, Jane?
No, I'm
yes,
just
Jane?
Back on. I canceled myself.
Oh,
sorry.
Sorry, okay. It's all right. All right, then we'll approve the minutes as written, and we'll go into the reports from the work groups, which we had inadvertently started. Number one was the work group on promoting member participation in delegate elections, and that included the report that was in the minutes, which is down below in Appendix B in the agenda as it was passed about. And to summarize, I think Terry had listed some objections to 1, 3, and 9.
Point of
and
order.
There was some discussion on 5, yes.
Madam Chair, it's my thought, and I would like you to rule on this, that those items that people have disagreements with, and I like the way they have been, I guess, so far identified, should be debated and either become a minority report or become the majority report. And if someone wants to offer a minority report, that be proffered to the board, to the national board. But just to dismiss it as I don't like it or whatever is, it seems to me, inappropriate. So I would like you to rule on that.
Well, I'm going to rule that we will probably do this in the usual way, which is to look at items in a report individually if people are questioning them and either amend them or vote to accept them as they are written. If the maker of the objection wants to submit a report, of course, that's his or her privilege instead of asking for an amendment. But I think we need to look at the items as individually and accept them. So maybe we should go down the list,
Terry?
1 through 9,
information.
And agree with them. Terry?
Serene, point
yes.
of information.
Yeah,
yes,
we could try putting everything on a consent calendar and then remove the items mm-hmm. that require debate.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds reasonable. Serene?
Is this the six-minute item that I'm seeing under reports for work groups? Where are we exactly on?
Yes, we're on reports and work groups and 6 minutes each, and obviously we're going to be devoting more than 6 minutes to that. Thank you for reminding me. Would someone like to move to extend the time? And Terry, perhaps you can estimate and propose the calendar that you'd like to go with?
Madam Chair, I would like to report that one of the work groups has not yet met. Number two, that I guess I was responsible for convening, so that would reduce the number of work groups by at least one. And why
mm-hmm.
does it say 30 at 6? I don't understand. 30 work groups?
30 minutes at 6 minutes each. There are 5 work groups and 30 minutes. 5 times 6 30 is 30.
Minutes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, we only have 5 because the second work group, and maybe there are others that have not yet met
Thank
as
you.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Terry, do you want to...
I think a member of that committee should structure the consent calendar.
Point of information, which groups have not met? There's 3 groups listed. The member participation, that met. The coordination with governance committee, I understand that did not meet. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then the last group was membership categorization and election problems. Did that?
We'll have a 1 minute report.
A 1 minute report. Okay.
All right.
I have another point of information, Madam Chair. I would have liked to join these groups, but I wasn't there, so that Governance Committee Work Group, is it possible I might join that? And also the promoting of membership participation, if it's going to meet again.
Well, my understanding is that as work groups publish their meeting times on the air or on the conference call, people from the committee may join them. The people who volunteered originally are not the only people allowed to work on these committees.
Yeah, well, I
so
may not be able to be here till the end of the call. That's why I wondered if I could
well, someone perhaps will notify you if there's going to be a call. It should be published, I believe. I was going to ask that we publish the conference calls on these work groups so that anybody can listen in who wants to.
No, I mean, I wanted to join them, those two. Is that possible?
Would you contact one of them after the meeting, Mary, and make that clear that you need to be notified because you want to join the committee?
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Now, Terry, when you say a consent calendar, what are you proposing, please?
This is Harrison. I'd like to follow Terry's suggestion of being a member of that work group to suggest that one with this number of recommendations that we made, that we go through the nine of them and ask, not separately, but just ask if there are objections and see if there are any left over where there aren't any objections, and then discuss as many of the ones that where there are objections as we can.
All right, thank you. We have only objections so far to 1, 3, 5, and 9.
This is Jane, may I speak?
Jane? Yes, Jane.
I would like to extend time for 15 minutes on this item.
Thank you. Do you think that will be enough? All right, is there a second for that? Are there any objections to extending time for 15 minutes?
I would second that.
All right, hearing none then, the time is extended for 15 minutes.
Harrison?
Yes.
I'd like to make, as a member of this three-person working group, I would like to just make one, I think, very important statement, and that is that throughout these items, the word should is used almost consistently, if not consistently. And the reason for the word should rather than must is because we want people to recognize, as I think it is, or I don't think for the rest of the committee, but I chose the word should because we are hoping that people will accept the spirit of what we are talking about, not necessarily the letter of what we are talking about. And if they do not accept the spirit, then the ultimate recourse is the pink slip that was mentioned earlier.
All right. So, thank you for that clarification, Ted. Harrison, do you want to proceed with whatever you're organizing?
Well, I just think you should continue to ask people for objections, and if there's anything...
I'm on the list for that.
Richard would like to speak.
And then
all right, let's take a list first. Thank you. Is that what you meant, Harrison? Take a list of who objects to what?
Point of order, this is Jane.
Yes, Jane?
What I understood Harrison to say that I think would be more expeditious is if we begin this from the top and work our way through the bottom and accept it. So I guess that would take people off the stack, just simply work our way through and see what the committee agrees with.
Yes, I think so. Are there any objections to number one? Terry has already listed an objection. All right. Are there any objections to number two, or can we accept that?
What exactly was Terry saying?
Can we just work them through one at a time, Carol? Would that be all right? I mean, Carol?
Well, I want to find out what we're facing first in terms of time. So if we go, I just want to find out if there are any objections to any of these, and then we'll go back, if I may. Number
you
two,
want to cover
there
the introduction,
should.
Carolyn?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that as being objectionable, but all right. Are there any objections to the introduction?
We
agreed on the general principle that controversy should not be discouraged because open discussion encourages interest and increases participation. We also agree that stations should give the highest priority to promoting and publicizing the elections and that this should be reflected in the job descriptions of the GM and PD.
Objection.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And then paragraph first item specifics, we already have an objection. And number two is there should be more frequent announcements of election events. Is that acceptable? So that one is stands, hearing no objection. There should be more frequent announcements of election events.
That's almost meaningless.
Are there any objections to it?
No, that's indeed a meaningless item.
Hearing none, candidates spots should be aired every half hour, 24 hours a day, on a rotational basis. Oh, we have already had an objection to that, haven't we?
Yeah.
All right,
yes.
So number four,
Robin.
When election supervisors select the questions posed to candidates, the questions tend to be safe ones in order to bring out the controversial issues. Each candidate should pose one question to be answered in the forums, and the other question should be posed by unscreened callers. At least half the time should be spent on questions from callers. If there are not enough questions from callers, additional questions from candidates should be taken. Candidates should have the opportunity to answer questions online and have their answers posted. Are there any objections to that? That was number four.
I object.
Yeah, I have. I just have a concern. I don't know if it's an objection. This is Don White. I have just a concern. Maybe they can answer it.
All right. Let's go back to that. I'm just trying to get an idea of where we are. So there is an objection and a concern about four. Number five, each station should publish an uncensored folio published at least quarterly, an editorial board. Oh, we already know there's an objection to that.
Yes.
So, number six, each station should have a show where LSB members discuss policy issues and outreach initiatives on a rotational basis with at least two LSB members and not more than five members in each show. Shows should be aired for 1 hour at least once each month. The shows should not be produced by the GM or PD if possible. That is number six. Any objections to that?
Well, you know, can I say something, Mr. Richard? The general principle I like, being so specific about how many people can be on there seems kind of minutiae.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so you want to object to that. So we'll put that on a list of things to be discussed. That's all I'm doing right now is taking a yes or no, an up or down. And then we'll go back and revisit these after we extend our time forever. Number seven, a public relations effort should be undertaken to highlight contributions that stations make to public debates, which would energize members by demonstrating the effectiveness of station efforts. Number seven. Any objections to that?
I hate to say this, but I
okay. So we'll put that on the list. Number eight. The station websites should be better used to encourage member participation in Pacifica governance. A, by archiving of forums. B, by publishing email debates between candidates and supporters. And C, by providing space for member statements supporting candidates. Are there any objections to that?
I object to B and C. I have problems
All right,
with B
so that,
and C.
That's on
A
the
is
list.
Fine.
Any mention made? Nine, we already know that there is an objection. So the only item we can eliminate from discussion at this point is number two. So shall we go back and do them one by one? Is that all right?
Point of order. There was actually discussion about the introduction.
Oh, the introduction. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Correct.
All right.
Terry?
And can I ask someone to watch the time, please?
Point of order.
We were at 9:43 when we began, and we,
point of order.
We extended for 15 minutes.
Point
yes,
of order.
Ted? Yes, Ted?
Robert's Rules of Order states that in committees there is no limit to debate. And putting time limits on this item is a violation of our bylaws.
Point of information, please, Mr. Chair.
I would like a ruling on my point of order before.
Some of us have liked it.
Yes, excuse me, Mary.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, point of order.
Mary was ahead of you.
No,
I'm
sorry. I think a point of order. I'm sorry, this is a point of order, which I believe trumps a point of
information. There was already a point of order on the floor.
Mary's point of order, please.
No, Ted.
Mine was a point of information. Is Ted meaning that, is the member meaning that we then, that the committees can meet all night? That there's no way to limit? I'm trying to understand what is meant here.
I'd like
he
to
says
answer
that we cannot
comment,
limit
Madam
any
Chair.
Debate means we could talk until morning, always.
Technically, I think my ruling is that technically Ted is correct. I hope that is not his intention.
Well,
but the limits on these were structured to keep our agenda moving and from ending up with an endless debate. At some point, I hope that someone will decide that we do have some other items to go, but we can go as far as we can on this in as much time as we believe proper. And at some point, maybe someone would suggest another route. So
I have another route. Hello.
Yes, I'm sorry. I have a point of order, please.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Serene.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you, you know, Melinda just made a sort of snotty remark to Ted, and I know that.
Excuse me, I have to object to the language, Serene. There's no point in compounding an objectionable remark.
She chimed in. Excuse me, Carolyn, and she chimed in with a really nasty remark, which she's been
objecting to your language
in these
all.
Meetings, and I'm asking that you ask her to stop.
The member's point is well taken, but your own language also makes me ask you not to use such inflammatory language describing other members' statements that you object to. Thank you. Now, Richard, did you have something? Was that Richard's voice I heard?
No, I was just saying that I'm trying to get order about the points of order that were...
If we're resolved, carry on, Zach.
I guess the other thing I was going to say, though, I think we could vote to limit debate if we wanted to.
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes, Ted.
It seems to me, and I would like you to either correct me or not, that each one of these items will either go forward as a majority report, a minority report, or they will be amended. They will not be completely defeated. The committee's work, the three-person committee, were unanimous in most of these things, and therefore it cannot be dismissed. If a body votes no on something, then these go forward as minority reports. If they vote yes, then it goes forward as a majority report, but it all goes forward one way or the other to the PNB.
Thank you, Ted. Mm-hmm.
Is
Melinda?
That correct?
that is my understanding of how it would work. Melinda?
Okay, what I want to know is this then. We have three people then, in other words, who basically veto the entire committee. That doesn't sound right to me. This is supposed to be a part of our committee. Are you saying that we're not given the option of voting something up or down, that in spite of what the committee feels, it's going to go forward? That doesn't seem to be democratic in its process.
Mm-hmm. A point of clarification, the work group is coming back with a report, and Ted is suggesting, I think properly, that if the committee does not accept the issues of the report, those parts of it which are not accepted will go as a minority report to the PNB, which is always any member's right and any subcommittee and workgroup's right, if I understand correctly, which I think is perfectly proper. So if we may move ahead on the introduction, there were two sentences. The first one, someone had an objection to, I'm not sure which sentence.
Second
Jane?
Sentence, this is Terry.
Terry, I'm sorry, you're on the stack. Yes, go ahead.
I move that we strike the words "the highest" and mm-hmm. replace them with the word "high." So it would read, "We also agree that stations should give high priority to promoting mm-hmm. and publicizing the elections, and that this should be reflected in the job descriptions of the GMMPD."
I would agree with that. We don't need a second.
All right. Are there any objections to changing "the highest" to "high" in the second sentence of the introduction? All right. Hearing none, then that change will be made. Are there any other corrections or objections to the introduction? No? All right. Hearing none, then let's move on to the next line. We also agreed on these specifics. Are there any objections to that line? All right. We're making progress here. Number one, the
Terry?
Links from the station, Terry. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Madam Chair, I would like for the people who are listening to this and don't have it in front of them for you to read each one.
I can do that as part of my amendment recommendation. I'm moving to strike the words "with type at least as large as the second largest typeface," so that number one would read, "The links from the station's home pages to the elections pages should be more prominent on the home page. starting 2 weeks before nominations open. And we should strike July 11th in case the schedule changes.
All right, those seem reasonable. Are there any objections to striking those two phrases?
Wait, which two phrases? I have type is least as large as the second largest typeface on the home page.
And, and July, no, no, on the home page remains, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Should be more prominent on the home page is how the final would read.
Okay.
And
okay.
July 11th would also be stricken. That was the second.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are there any objections to striking those terms? No. All right. Hearing none, then we'll proceed to number three.
Terry.
Candidate spots should be... Yes, Terry. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm moving to strike the words every half hour, 24 hours a day, so that number three would read, candidate spots should be aired on a rotational basis even during fund drives, and that participation in the elections and governance should be used as part of fundraising pitches.
All right. Are there any objections to that?
Yes. Ted here.
Ted?
Yeah, I think that we ought to establish, if it's not every half hour, it should be every hour, but it could be once during a fund drive and they would be fulfilling the... I'm willing to compromise, but not to nothing, and that's what I'm getting.
Terry?
And Terry? Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a committee member can recommend a reasonable number of times per day for the airing of a spot.
Carol Wolf,
period.
Carol on the stack?
Yes. Did
go
I
ahead,
hear
please.
That the PNB had already issued a directive on how often the carts would be run?
Yes.
They did, and I don't have that motion in front of me. Does anyone have it?
I know the substance of it, basically.
Was it 10 times a
Richard?
Day?
It was to be run 10 times during the period. That was it.
During the period? During which period?
The period of the election period. I can't remember exactly, but up through November 15th from, I don't know, but it wasn't very often.
Each candidate's spot should be run 10 times?
Right.
Is that 10 times per day?
No. 10 times total.
Okay.
This
was a very watered-down version of the motion we passed, which said once every 3 hours.
This is Harrison. I'd like to be on the stack.
Yes, Harrison. Go ahead, please.
I like Ted's compromise solution that they be aired every hour. Not necessarily each, of course, not each person, but that seems to make it regular. That makes it easier to keep track of. That's what we got, in fact, most of the time, except during fund drives in the last two elections at KPFK, and I think that works well. People know then when to expect them, and it's easy for candidates to keep track of when they happen. It works out real well if they're done in alphabetical order, then people know when to check to make sure their cart's coming up. I think there's a lot of reasons for doing it every hour. That way, you know, you get some coverage in each of the different programs. You know, it just seems, and like Ted was saying, if anything else risks the possibility of there being very little.
Mary Berg, I'd like to speak to that.
Uh-huh. Mary?
I think that would be maddening for the listeners. They're already angry that... These things are not informative. They don't learn anything from these statements. They're just promoting the person, and there's no hard questions. There's no nothing. And to hear the same thing, same voice, every hour on the hour, I think this would have a very, very adverse effect. We were going to try to do forums instead of these so that people could ask hard questions, but PNB preempted that, and we had to go to these, and we did have it. This is not a way to get people to vote. It's a way to turn them off of the whole thing, especially when you consider that there are many public service announcements that need to be made and would have to be curtailed because of it. I think that's really excessive.
I couldn't okay that.
Richard, could I be on the staff?
And in addition,
Richard,
I
yes,
think
go ahead,
to do it alphabetically means that the people, they have to be, if you want to be fair, you have to put them, you have to determine what is prime time, what is less so. You have to have them in the middle of the night because there are listeners and so on. So it's not just a simple matter of running them alphabetically. That is very unfair.
Well, point of clarification, that is not part of this motion, the alphabetical. Harrison said that, but it is not. We're not considering that at the moment. Richard?
I just want to say, Mary, I think you're kind of being a little overreactive. When they're talking about once an hour, it's not going to be the same person every hour.
No.
So it's not going to be the same voice and the same content. They're going to, if you have 20 candidates, you wouldn't hear a person except once a day if
right.
that was even a once an hour rotation. So it wouldn't be at the same time.
That's right.
And the next person would be a different voice, and it could be male, female, or whatever. I mean, it's not going to be the same voice every hour. So
I know that.
Like that, but you're kind of unfairly exaggerating. I don't think that's good debate
comments that were given to me by listeners.
Excuse me, James?
You have to ignore things that are said that are silly.
Richard, excuse me, can we have one person at a time, please? I think Jane was next on the stack.
Thank you, Chair. The candidate spots that we heard here in W, I think my personal opinion is it was helpful for listeners because, you know, on the rotational basis, it's not the same voice. I mean, you have so many different candidates, and it's actually kind of inspiring hearing what people have to say. So this is just a slightly different take. I do observe now, and I apologize for, you know, if I'm getting a little over-editorializing, but the second half of number three actually fits in a lot better with number two. Basically, there should be more frequent announcements of election events and, if necessary, participation in elections and government should be used as part of fundraising pitches. The specifics of when, you know, the candidate spots are going to be aired, if this report is going to address that. I guess I really don't know whether every half hour, 24 hours a day, is the correct number, or every hour, or a certain number. I don't know the answer to that, so I would feel very uncomfortable right now voting on that phrase. But the second half of this, I think, is quite quite pertinent, and it relates more to number two than the specific scheduling. So I don't know if there's any way to fit that into an amendment. I mean, I know we already kind of approved number two carte blanche, but I would like to move the second half of this into number two, prefaced by, if necessary, participation in election governance should be used as a part of fundraising pitches. And then that way we can deal with the timing of candidate spots independently.
All right, is there a second to that?
No second.
You don't need a second to move that? All right, so we're moving to revise number two, even though we already approved it.
A point of order.
Yes.
I'm still trying to get on the staff also. Thank you.
Who is this, please?
Serene.
Don White.
Serene.
Well, I think Don's point of order would trump my attempt to, my second or third attempt to be heard on the staff.
Oh.
If people identify themselves by name, I'm sorry, but I don't always recognize names immediately.
Right.
Don, I recognize your voice. Point of order,
please. Just very quickly. As I understand it, there is a motion on the floor from Terry Goodman about the frequency of the tapes. And then is there now a substitute? Is this considered a substitute motion, or do we have to actually process Terry's motion before we go to another motion? Or am I've been going in and out, so maybe I'm incorrect on this.
No, I think you're correct. There are two amendments here, I thought we could deal with the second one first and then the first one.
Well, this
if that
Harrison,
would be all right.
To speak on the point of order.
Harrison?
I think perhaps the standard way to deal with this situation is to divide number three. And to
right.
Make participation in elections and governance should be used as part of fundraising pitches as, I don't know, 3A or something like that. That might be, well, at least that's one way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would make some sense instead of two amendments. All right, we can do that. Is that a motion to divide then?
I accept that, yeah.
All right, thank you. Serene, you were on the stack?
Point of privilege.
As a point
Terry?
Of information.
I'm sorry, Terry, yes?
Yes, I must leave the call. I'll check back in an hour, see how far you've gotten.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Serene?
I've actually 2 points of information. It seems to me that the PNB already voted on a process. So I'm wondering why we're revisiting that now. Are we asking them to, in fact, revoke what they've previously voted on to accept what we're offering today? That's one question. And the second question is, while I think, you know, I certainly appreciate that the time and the energy that went into preparing this, I think that any report on what should be done would be better informed by the report of what actually happened in this round. So I'm wondering why it felt that this is so time-sensitive that it has to be dealt with before we actually have the reports from the five local areas. So those are my two questions.